محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لولاية أمير المؤمنين وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على أفضل البرية والأنام، حبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، من اسمه في السماء أحمد وفي الأرض أبو القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الغر الميامين، سيما بقية الله في الأراضين وحجته على الخلائق أجمعين، الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر فداه أرواح العالمين. Our respected guest Sheikh Arif Abdul Hussain, elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Praise be to Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one who has given us both the opportunity and the ability to gather here today on one of the blessed nights of the month of Sha'ban. Tonight is holy and blessed not only because it is one of the nights of Sha'ban, but also that the master of age and time, the peacock of inhabitants of paradise, our awaited beloved savior, Imam Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif, was born on a night like this. In fact, Sha'ban has earned its holiness and its greatness from the 15th day of it. These nights are the nights of the Imam. This month is the month of our Imam, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. One might object that how can you say that Sha'ban is the month of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam when the ahadith say that Sha'ban is the month of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the answer to this question is very simple, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أولنا محمد وأوسطنا محمد وآخرنا محمد بل كلنا محمد. On a night like this, it is very important that we allow the remembrance of our Imam to flow not only on our tongues but also in our minds and in our hearts. It is inevitable that we speak about this great man, so great that when Imam al-Rida alayhi salam heard one of his blessed names, he stood up and put his hand on his head in respect to the status of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Of course, we aren't going to answer the typical questions that are on the tongues of the people. When is the Imam going to come? What are some of his signs of reappearance? Is he going to fight with the bow and arrow or some kind of high-tech weapons? Is the sun going to rise from the west? Is it going to set in the east? Who is the Yamani? Who is the Khurasani? Has the Dajjal been seen? Has the Sufyani been seen? And the questions go on and on and on and on, though we forget to ask ourselves the most important question of all, which is, how do I prepare myself for the Imam so that when he calls upon his followers, I am from amongst the first to reply to him and say, I am at your service. What is that will guarantee for me a place alongside the Imam alayhi salam? What is it that I must achieve that when I am put under examination of whether to pick standing by the Imam or standing against him, I pick to stand with the Imam alayhi salam regardless of the consequences? Some people have already answered this question between them and themselves as I've asked it, and they have answered it by one of the following. A. Knowledge. Knowledge is what will guarantee for me this position that we are speaking about. B. Worship. C. Bodybuilding. D. Sitting in the corner of my home and doing dua for the quick advent of the Imam alayhi salam. E. All of the above. And F. None of the above. In order to answer this question, we must refer to the two things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left with us, where he says in his famous hadith known as Hadith al-Thaqalain, I am leaving you two weighty things. Once you follow, you shall never go astray. The Book of Allah and my Ahlul Bayt. And they shall never separate until they meet me at the pond of Al-Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. So our first reference is the Holy Quran, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in it many stories, not for the sake of telling stories, but so the people of intellect can reflect upon these stories and learn the moral of the lesson which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting. And our second reference is the lives of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, who are the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth, and who are themselves speaking and walking and talking Quran. Everyone here knows the story of Iblis, the Satan, and Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Iblis was from amongst the jinn, he was not an angel. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that he earned the status of the peacock of angels. The will of Allah was to create Adam. Allah created Adam from clay and breathed into him from his spirit, then ordered the angels to prostrate to Adam. The angels all bowed down except Iblis. He refused to prostrate and disobeyed Allah. So then he became expelled from Allah's mercy. But who forced Iblis not to bow down, though he knew that this was the command of Allah? When Iblis refused to bow down, he was not ignorant of who Allah is. He knew what it meant to disobey the orders of Allah. He knew what it meant to disobey Allah. His knowledge is much greater than ours. We speak about the celestial kingdom of Allah. He was a servant in that kingdom. We speak about the angels. He was the peacock of angels. We speak about the Garden of Eden. We speak about Adam. He was living there and with them. But yet his knowledge did not guarantee for him failing this exam. He failed the exam even though of the vast knowledge that he had. When we go back to Karbala, we find that the people who stood against Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam were not ignorant of who Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam was. They knew who he was, the son of who, the brother of who, the grandson of who. They sent out letters to him at the first that, "Come out and we will fight with you." So they knew who he was. Even though some people might say that there might have been some people who don't know the Imam alayhi salam, many times in Karbala stood up and said to them that there is no son of the daughter of the Prophet between the East and the West except me. He introduced himself many times on the plains of Karbala. So they weren't ignorant of who Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam was. When Ibn Ziyad offered Umar ibn Sa'd to be the leader of the army and go out to kill Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam, Umar ibn Sa'd that night sat between him and himself. And he started weighing out two options that he had. He said, if I go out to Karbala, I accept to be the leader of the army, and I kill the Hussein, I'll go to hell. That's his first option. Then he said, but if I refuse to do so, I will miss out on the governorship of Ray and Jarjan, which is Iran nowadays. So Umar ibn Sa'd knew that killing Imam al-Hussein al-Hassan will take him to hell. But this knowledge of his was not a guarantee for him in passing this exam. So the people against Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam weren't ignorant, and their knowledge didn't help them in this situation. So could it be option B, worship? Some people might come and say that worship is our guarantee. What is meant by worship is not only praying the obligatory prayers and fasting in the holy month of Shah Ramadan, performing Hajj once a lifetime. I'm talking about waking up for Salatul Layl, fasting days other than in the month of Ramadan, going to Hajj more than once, performing Jihad, enjoining good, forbidding evil, and the list goes on and on. And this is the worship that I am talking about. But yet again, is it enough alone? Worship is a must. As you all know, Salat is a must, for example. If it is accepted, it is the backbone of religion. If it is accepted, everything else is accepted. And if it is rejected, everything else is rejected. Again, we answer the question to say that worship is not enough alone. When we go back to the story of Iblis, we found that it was the worship of Iblis that helped him attain that status of becoming the peacock of angels. In fact, some of the narrations say that he used to go into sujood, into one sajda, one prostration, for I don't know how many thousands of years. This was the worship of Iblis. Yet, he disobeyed Allah and failed the examination. Similarly, in Karbala, the people that were fighting against Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam upheld a congregational prayer on the plains of Karbala. They were people who fasted, they were people who prayed, they were people who went to Hajj, but yet this worship of theirs was of no benefit to them. They later on, after they killed the Imam alayhi salam, they took the 10th day of Muharram as a day of joy and happiness, and they recommended on that day that one must fast. So these people were worshippers, they fasted, they prayed, but this worship and prayers and fasting and what have you was not a guarantee for them in passing this exam. Now back to the original question. I'm not going to speak about the other options because everyone here of course agrees that they are not a guarantee either. Back to the original question, which we shall answer now. We were trying to find out what the guarantee is that will help us make up our minds of such decisions when we are put in front of either sticking to the Imam of your time or standing against the Imam of your time, and hence losing both this world and the hereafter. Our journey in getting closer to our Imam, who is Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, will start from the moment I give the answer. Our journey has not started yet. The moment I give the answer to the question, then our journey will start in getting closer to the Imam alayhi salam. And the end of this journey will be martyrdom between the blessed hands of the Imam alayhi salam. As you all know, for every journey you take, you must also take the provision with you. You must take provision with you. Before you leave your house every single morning, whether you're going to uni, you're going to school, you're going to work, you take with you your lunchbox. This lunchbox is your provision for the day that will help you continue on the day, that will help you overcome the hardships in the day. This is the provision. For every journey you need this. When you travel in the desert, you need to take your supply of food and drink and all other things. In Arabic language, this is known as zad. Azad. In Lebanese, everyday language is known as zuwadi. When you wake up in the morning and your mom tells you, amalak zuwadi, should I make you your lunch, should I make you your provision? This is what we're speaking about, the provision. So on our journey towards the Imam alayhi salam, we also need a provision. So let us ask the Holy Quran about what is this provision that we need. The Quran answers back in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 197 and says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And take a provision with you on this journey, or for this journey, for the best of provision is taqwa. This is what we are after. Taqwa is that which will guarantee for us a place alongside the Imam alayhi salam. Without taqwa, knowledge and worship are useless. In simple terms, piety or taqwa means to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave what He told us to leave and do what He told us to do. It is not acceptable to pray obligatory prayers and cheat people or backbite them. If the marks of prostration can be seen on my forehead 20 meters away, yet I backbite people and I constantly tell lies, such prayer there is no use of. In only two simple English words, taqwa means don't sin. A 9-year-old girl who has become responsible for her actions can become from amongst the pious, and so can a 14-year-old boy. One might say that's easy. I will stop eating haram, looking at haram, listening to haram, but at the same time I won't pray, I won't fast, and I won't go to Hajj. This statement is an oxymoron. It contradicts itself. We say taqwa is not to sin. And once you leave your prayer, you are sinning. Once you leave your fasting, you are sinning. To make this point clear, allow me to mention a story which happened with Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. One day, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was in the market. And he saw a person standing near like a little shop which sells bread. So this person, without the owner of the shop seeing him, he grabs two loaves of bread and he takes them. So the Imam alayhi salam says that, I'll give him a good excuse. Maybe this person has some criminal credit with the owner of the shop and that's why he took them without telling him. Then the Imam alayhi salam saw him again. He was taking two pomegranates, rumman, two fruits, in case you don't know what it is, from another salesperson over there. The Imam alayhi salam is still watching what this person is doing. He takes the bread and the fruit and he gives them to a poor person. So the Imam alayhi salam approaches him and he says to him, I saw you taking two loaves of bread and two fruits without telling the owners of the shop. He says to him, who are you? Where are you from? He said, I am from the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. What tribe are you from? He said, I am from the Bani Hashim. He said, are you Ja'far ibn Muhammad? He said to him, yes, I am. He said, it makes no big deal anyway. It doesn't seem you have read the Quran. So the Imam alayhi salam, he's surprised. He says, what do you mean that I haven't read the Quran? So he says to him, Allah in the Quran says that when you do a bad action, one bad deed is written for you. And when you do a good action, 10 good deeds is written for you. So I stole four things, the two bread and the two fruit, that's four bad deeds have been written for me. And then I gave the four of them to the poor person, each one of them is worth 10 good deeds, that makes it 40 good deeds written for me. 40 minus 4, I'll end up with 36 good deeds. So the Imam alayhi salam says to him, it seems that you are the one that has not read the Quran or comprehended the Quran. He says to him, why do you say that? He says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the pious ones. So similar is the case in our day-to-day life. If one fasts and prays but doesn't wear the hijab, if one prays and fasts but the haircut they have is un-Islamic, and the examples are many. Taqwa is your foundation. You must build your prayers, your fasting, your knowledge, and all the types of worship that you do upon taqwa, so that this building of yours remains unshaken and steady in the way of Allah. How do we obtain taqwa? In one verse of the Holy Quran, and the month of Ramadan is on the doors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it has been prescribed upon those who have come before you. For what reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may achieve taqwa. So now you know the question to the, you know the answer to the question that we posed from the start. And to obtain it is making use of the blessed days of the month of Ramadan that is coming up. And through our fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that one is able to possess this taqwa and the ability to refrain from sins and do the obligatory. Taqwa is at different degrees, in case someone is wondering. The lowest degree of taqwa is obligatory on each and every single person that is here tonight. And that is refraining from what is forbidden. That is the lowest degree of taqwa. And the degrees of taqwa then after that are many, until it becomes at the highest degree of taqwa, which is refraining from anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So between those two degrees, there are many other degrees and levels of taqwa. Before I end my speech, there are two things which I would like to say in regards, or that I would like to advise, in regards to our Imam alayhi salam. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that the person who performs dua for Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, the Imam in return will perform dua for him. And glad tidings to the person who the Imam of his time performs dua for him. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that ask for the quick reappearance of the Imam alayhi salam as much as you can, because in that is a happy outcome for you. So according to these two ahadith and what we have spoken today, it will be very beautiful that we mention our Imam alayhi salam every single day, or every single time that when we are able to, in performing dua for the quick reappearance of the Imam. And we can do this in two simple ways. One, everyone knows the importance of the salawat that we perform, to the extent that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he ascended to the sky, he saw an angel who had 1,000 hands, and on each hand he had 1,000 fingers. So he stood there amazed in front of this angel, and he said to him, what is your duty? You have so many fingers. He said to him, the angel was saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that my duty is to count the number of raindrops that fall from the beginning of time to the end of time. I can tell you how many rains of drop have fallen in the sea, how many in the land, how many in the city, how many in the village, etc., etc. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, is there anything that you cannot count? He said, there is one thing which I am unable to count. So the Prophet said, what is it? He said, when a group of your nation are gathered and your name is mentioned, they perform salawat upon you. I cannot count the number of rewards that these people get. And in this salawat, this is the importance of it. We can also ask for the quick reappearance of our Imam alayhi salam by just adding in two simple words after the salawat that we perform, which is wa'ajjil farajahum. So then our salawat will become Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa'ajjil farajahum. You're sending your, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His blessing and His praise upon the Holy Prophet and upon his progeny, and at the same time asking for the quick advent of the Imam of your time. And in that way, you would have gained many rewards, and not only that, performed many worships within one worship. The worship or the good act of the salawat and the good act of asking for the quicker advent of the Imam alayhi salam. So that is one way. Like I said, Shah Ramadan is on the doors, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, as the narrations say, that He has given to the person who fasts. When this person who fasts, he comes to break his fast during iftar time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a fulfilled dua. That Allah has given this person the opportunity to perform a dua, that whatever he asks for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him, of course within the rules and regulations of dua. So before we come and break our fast, when we're coming to perform this dua, let us make this dua for the Imam of our time by mentioning any one of the adaya for the Imam alayhi salam. That way, before we break our fast, we are in total remembrance of our Imam, and we are preferring him to ourselves by performing dua for him before we perform dua for ourselves. And like I said, as Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, that the one who performs dua for the Imam of his time, the Imam in return will perform dua for him. And glad tidings to the one who the Imam of his time performs dua for him. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.